yesterday I preached on prayer. I taught about prayer. I teach mostly about intercession, I've discovered. And I believe it's because I did not know what intercession was until I had need of it. And I believe the desperation in our family's life, for our daughter's life and for our daughter's eternity, brought us to, I think the Lord used that desperation to teach us about intercession. I know he did. And because I wish I had known intercession much earlier in life, I teach about it because I think there's a lack of knowledge about it and the difference between prayer and intercession. So I focus on that a lot. And this week, the Lord, not this week, honestly, this is a word that's been brewing in me for a while. And there's bits and pieces of it that have come out, but I haven't been able to fully articulate it until yesterday. And I believe that was in preparation for next week as we go to North Carolina to do a prayer conference. A big chunk of us from the team, Becoming Love Ministries, will be traveling to North Carolina to do a prayer conference. It's an interdenominational prayer conference, and it's a really beautiful time. And in that preparation for that, I'm not just sharing at breakout sessions, but a plenary session, I really felt like the Lord was leading me toward prayer and a house of prayer. And we've talked about that several times on this call. And so yesterday I shared that word, and I'm always finding myself, as I spend time with the Lord, trying to distinguish how to be a better intercessor, how to be a better prayer, how to communicate better with the Lord. Because really, this is the vehicle in which we're talking about, the communication between us and the living God, which we're not only invited into, but we're commanded to partake in if we want to have right relationship with the Lord. You know as well as I do, we can't have relationship with people if there's no communication. You can't say that so-and-so is my best friend and never speak with them. You know, you can't enter into a marriage and then never have a conversation with your spouse. It doesn't work like that. You see, communication is fundamental to every relationship that we're in, friendship, acquaintanceship, marriage, and certainly in our right relationship with the Lord. We are commanded, we must have good communication. And so as this fundamental truth is just seeping inside of me more and more, I'm always distinguishing how to pray better, how to pray more efficiently, how to pray more by the Spirit, how to pray less by me. How do I do it better? I always want the Holy Spirit to teach me, because sometimes I think, oh man, I'm figuring this out. And then there are other moments like, I'm clueless. I don't know. This is like a big mystery, right? And I think that dichotomy exists because we're really praying to someone we can't see, and we don't audibly hear. And now we hear his voice, and sometimes it's much louder than any audible voice would be, because it's in our heart, right? We remember that, and it's beautiful. But it's difficult at times. And if we say that it isn't, then we're probably not being utterly truthful. Sometimes prayer is hard, and sometimes we aren't interested in doing it. And so I'm always searching for these answers, always searching to pray better. Are you? Is it just me? If it is, that's okay. But really, I'm always searching. And I find the most help, the most answer, comes from the Lord by his Spirit through his word. Sometimes I feel like we could literally pray every single verse in the Bible. We can literally turn. I'm not saying we really could, but maybe. I don't know. I haven't tried it. But, you know, there are times when I'm just reading the Word and I'm like, man, I need to pray this. I need to pray this. And I realize in those moments, and sometimes I don't realize it until far later, but the truth is he's teaching me how to pray when I read his Word. When I read his Word and I ask his Spirit to help me understand it, I'm learning who he is, and he's communicating with me by his Word. And that itself is a communication of prayer, where he's talking to me and I can talk back and say, yes, thus saith you, Lord, and I receive it and say, yes, I agree. right? It's like telling your best buddy, man, I'm with you. We're on the same page. This is what it's like saying to the Lord. And so as I search, I sometimes come across situations in the Word that I'm like, wow, this just kind of makes me sad. And today, I know this is crazy, but I want to talk about one of those things that I see such, like, disappointment in. And I ask myself, why am I disappointed in this particular person in the Bible? Why am I disappointed in them? And today, I find it's because I feel like this person totally missed and did not reach their potential. You know, I think very few people can say at the end of their life the comment that Jesus said to the Father. Jesus said, Father, I have come and completed all that you've asked me to do. I've completed everything you've asked me to do, everything you sent me to do, everything I was sent here, everything I came here to do, I've completed it. And to me, that is a marvelous statement from Jesus, because let's be honest, he didn't rush through any part of 3 years. In my humanness, if I knew I only had 3 years to accomplish all the ministry, everything the Lord sent me to do, 33 years even, I would have a tendency in my humanness to rush through it. But Jesus didn't do that. He took time for everyone. He took time to heal. He took time to deliver. He took time to raise the dead. He took time to share meals. He took time to teach. He took time to love. He took the time. And he never rushed. And he never neglected his personal time with the Father. He stole away in the night. He stole away in the early morning hours. And he's our example. And so I think, what must I be able to do and be able to say to be able to stand at the end of my life and say, Father, I've accomplished all you've sent me to do? I don't know how many people can say that. But this morning, I want to read in Judges 16. Actually, I just want to talk about Judges 16, and there's a couple verses I'll bring out. And that's Samson. We're talking about Samson this morning. And when I read about Samson, I have this overwhelming, like, I don't get excited about his strength. I don't get excited about the few things he did right. I find myself disappointed in the things, the many things he did wrong. And when I ask myself, or I ask the Lord, why am I disappointed in Samson? And the truth is, because I see that God set him a purpose for such, what is the word I'm looking for? Potential. And I feel like he fell short. Is that true? I don't know. I'm not sure. The Word doesn't really say he fell short of his potential, but the Word certainly does not say that he was able to stand up at the end of his life and say, I've accomplished all you've sent me to do. So let's dive in this morning, and I've entitled this little word, and I really want to dive into discovering this with you, praying up to your potential. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about compromise. And we talked about tolerating, and we talked about that becoming your standard and not reaching your potential. We talked about that. But this is a little bit different. Today, I want us to ask this question. This is a question the Lord laid in my heart this morning as I was reading Judges and reading about Samson. Are you ready? What answers have you never received because you've never prayed the prayer? That's my pondering thought. That's what's led to all of this morning, okay? We're talking about prayer, not necessarily intercession, but prayer. It could apply to our intercession, so I'm not discounting it. I'm just saying today we're going to talk about prayer, and that's the communication with the Lord. What is it that you've never heard? What is it that you've never received that God has in store for you because you never prayed the prayer, you never asked the question, you never entered into communication on that particular matter? When you see someone repeatedly and you're disappointed in their life and they're not choosing God, have you allowed the disappointment to override your sense to pray for them? Sometimes I do that. sometimes I heard a story yesterday, and I'm like, oh, that breaks my heart. It's a person that one of our homeless that we helped get off the street and to get in rehab, and he's back on the street, and he OD'd yesterday. And one of our other homeless ladies came across the street, and she was just beside herself to the church. And by the way, she came to the door during our big gender reveal celebration for our daughter and son-in-law. And she came to the door. We had family in from all over. And my son-in-law's mother, my daughter's mother-in-law, she said, Melissa, someone's at the door. And I came to the door, and I saw my dear friend Jennifer. And Jennifer came in, and actually I went out to her, and she was just beside herself. She said, I need prayer. Pastor, I need prayer. And I said, what's going on? And she just told me that Josh had OD'd, and that she had Narcan. I don't even know how they come by this stuff, but she had Narcan, and she administered Narcan to him and CPR before the ambulance got there, and he started breathing again. And as the ambulance got there, they, you know, checked him out, and believe it or not, he was okay, even though one moment he was dead. And she was so shook up by the encounter, by the event, that she came over for prayer. And so I brought her in, and I fed her from, you know, all of the party food, and we sat down and we talked and we sort of unpacked this. And in that moment, I was so sad because Josh, this one that I've loved and took in as a son, because he almost lost his life because of poor choices. And now this morning, looking back at the situation yesterday, I didn't stop and pray for Josh. I prayed for Jennifer, who was beside herself. I prayed for peace and hope and all the things for Jennifer. But you guys, I was disappointed yesterday, and I didn't pray. I didn't take it to the Father. I got distracted. And I'm realizing that sometimes we think about things, we're disappointed, we feel things, we wonder things, we logic things, but we don't pray about the things. And even those of us that are trying to become people of prayer and understand prayer and learn how to pray better miss the mark. And yesterday I missed the mark. I missed an opportunity to pray for Josh. Hallelujah, I can pray for him today. But that's an example of what I'm talking about this morning. And so now let's look at the biblical example that spurred all of this deep revelation in me this morning. It's Samson. We know the story of Samson. We've seen it on the felt board. You know, Samson, strong, long hair. Because why? Because an angel of the Lord came to his mother and father, separately and together. By the way, that's a really cool story, but I won't dwell on that. And said, I'm an angel of the Lord, after they asked, and this child that you carry, by the way, she was barren. Manoah's wife was barren, and that the Lord impregnated her with a child, and the angel of the Lord said, this child shall take, you will take a vow for this child shall take a vow, that it be a Nazarite vow. Now, a Nazarite vow is that no razor should touch the child's head, so his hair must grow. There's also more components to a Nazarite vow, by the way, that are not mentioned in this particular book of Judges. Like no alcoholic beverage shall touch the lips, no grape, no wine, no, it's fruit of the vine. So there's no wine, there's no partaking of alcohol in a Nazarite vow. There's just the hair growing, not just on the head, but I believe even the beard, I'm not sure, but I think it's like hair growing, no alcohol, and they must abstain from dead things. Now, it's kind of a big deal because Samson blew that one right off. We're not going to talk about that, but he I don't get the impression that as Samson grew into a man, that he respected the call and purpose on his life. That's the part of the disappointment. You see, he didn't keep all of the vow because he entered into touching a dead lion carcass. He killed the lion, ripped him in two, is what the Bible says. And then later he came upon the carcass, and there was bees that had created a hive, and it was full of honey, and he wanted to eat the honey. So he went in and took his hand inside the dead carcass and pulled out the honey to eat it. He just did not honor the vow. You see, God had a purpose and a plan for Samson's life, and part of the plan was that he be anointed and keep this vow. We know some of us have an anointing for a particular thing, right? Okay, so this is the likeness from Samson to us. And he sort of disregarded the anointing, if you will, in that moment. He also did things, as we look through Judges, that have a real sense of moral weakness. And if we pinpointed one of those things, we would say, Samson had a moral weakness for women, lust of the flesh. And ultimately, that became his downfall, not just Delilah. I mean, he spent time with harlots and not like holy time trying to, you know, teach them about Jesus, but, you know, the lustful kind of time. He just had a temper. he was not necessarily what you would call a holy, righteous guy. Nowhere in Judges does the Lord say that he was a man after my own heart, like David, right? And so I see this potential that God has for Samson in this vow. What could he accomplish? And this is a time in Israel's history where they really need somebody to keep a vow, to walk in their anointing, to sort of save this nation that's totally gone wayward by idolatry. And yet Samson, who God starts right from the womb with this incredible potential, sort of disregards it in his adult life. What does that say to us? This is what it says to us. The Lord's anointing will not save you from your own disobedience. No matter how anointed, called, no matter what the Lord has in store for us, that calling and anointing does not stop us from being disobedient and that being our downfall. That's what it did for Samson. And so we have an obligation, if we understand the Holy Spirit has given us an anointing and we recognize the anointing, we have an obligation all the more to walk in the anointing with obedience to the Lord. It's our job to agree with the promise. You know, we say every promise in the Lord is yes and amen. It's Jesus' job to speak the promise and fulfill the promise. It's our job to amen and agree with the promise, which means we walk in the promise, which means we walk in the anointing, which means we walk in obedience. And Samson does not really do that here. And there's no narration, by the way, that's telling me, and he did not be faithful or he did not stay faithful. No, it's his actions, his words. See, they belie the anointing on his life. You know, the sleeping around, the telling of the secrets, the touching of the dead things. They belie the anointing. He may have agreed with it, but he wasn't walking in it. Okay, we also know that disobedience and compromise can and will keep you from your purpose. You know, God's purpose and plans for your life can go unfulfilled. It happened. I'll give you scriptural backup for that statement. By the way, let that sink in. I think I better just pause there. Your disobedience and your compromise can keep you from living the purpose God has for your life. I believe it did for Samson. I can't say that for sure, but that's my opinion. Here's scriptural backup. It was not the Lord's heart that Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years when they were Exodus out of Egypt. When they were saved from slavery by the hand of God himself, it was not his heart that they wandered in the desert for 40 years. It was their disobedience and compromise that left them there. It was not his heart that Moses not be allowed in the promised land. But it was their disobedience and compromise that the generation had to die out before they could receive the promised land. It was not the Lord's heart that his chosen people enter the promised land and be exiled. But because of the rampant rebellion and disobedience and compromise, they were exiled. from their promised land, and their restoration fully hasn't taken place yet. So I know it's possible, and I know you do too. I don't think anybody disagrees that point. Our disobedience and compromise can keep us from the purpose God has for our life, and I believe it did for Samson. I guess maybe I could say I know that Samson's purpose from the Lord was greater than what he accomplished. What did he accomplish? Well, he judged Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. He did destroy Philistines. He did have victory over their enemies. But I believe that a man that was born in a Nazarite vow had more anointing and purpose than that. I don't know. I can't prove it. What else? Look at verse 20 and 16. This is the verse. There's a couple verses here I just wanted to read. Judges 16:20 makes this statement, and it makes me, like, the hair on my arm stand up. Verse 20 said, and this is Delilah, okay? She's just tricked Samson. She's just figured out his secret. Why? Because he blabbed. He told her. Knowing that she was, he blabbed. He told her, and she has shaved his heads. So all of the locks of his hair, 7, the perfect number, were shaved off his head, and his strength left him. And this is what 20 says. And she, Delilah, said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Yikes. That makes the hair on my arm stand up. He didn't know. The anointed one of God, in a vow with the Lord, the vow is, I will do this. I will give you unlimited strength. I will back you up if you keep this vow to me. You're in an agreement, a covenant vow with the Lord himself, and he's with you, and you're with him, and then this anointed man didn't even know the Lord had departed from him. Yikes. What kept him from knowing that? Probably pride, because in the verse before, right in the sentence before, he'll say, I'll go out like I did every other time and shake myself free. He took the Lord for granted. He took his strength for granted. He took it all for granted, even though he just revealed the secret of his vow. And he didn't know the Lord had departed from him, and I take that as an admonition, oh, I better be so careful. I better not ever. I don't want to be in a position ever to realize I didn't realize the Lord had departed from me. Oh, that breaks my heart. And what was it that made that happen? I think pride. I do. I really think pride. I think Samson was prideful. And just like Samson, you guys, pride will keep us from seeing that the Lord has departed from us when we have compromised and disobeyed. I'm not sure it happens at first. There might be a drifting of quite some time that takes place. I don't know. Really, that's very individual. But pride will keep us from seeing it. Pride will keep us from seeing, by the way, that there's a separation at all, that there's a stumbling block at all. That's why we have to be so one with the Spirit and allow him to search us every day, because the Spirit can put his finger on pride. The Spirit can show us where we have pride. But listen, without the Spirit, pride's the thing that keeps us from realizing we have a pride problem. We need the Spirit to lay his finger on pride. Pride's tricky. And then extricate the pride from our life with repentance. And then we have to really turn from that thing. But we need the Spirit when we have to extricate pride. And we often don't see pride because the Lord's departed and the Spirit's gone, or there's separation and we don't realize it. And I think that's what happened with Samson here. And you know, Samson fell far from his anointing in the womb all the way to the end of his life. He fell far. He lost his strength. He lost his freedom. He lost his wife. He lost his reputation. He lost it all. He didn't keep the vow. He lost the Lord's presence in him because he had departed. That's everything. Samson fell far and lost it all. Yet he was anointed, committed, called to this vow. But even at the end of his life, verse 28, Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God." What is that? That's one prayer. That's one prayer. He fell so far in all the years, yet one prayer and the Lord responded to him. The Lord didn't leave him. The Lord responded. The Lord was there. The Lord answered his prayer. He lost his eyes even. I mean, he fell far, you guys, but yet one prayer and there was a response from the Lord. Isn't that faithfulness on the Lord's part?
Mm-hmm.
And so this, I just can't get past this pondering. I think there was so much more. I think the Lord could have used Samson in so many ways for Israel as a nation. Obviously, he judged him 20 years. What if there could have been more in there? What if he could have led them, and it could have been a holy restoration, you know, because they were so involved in idolatry and all this stuff. Literally, even his parents didn't even, know who the angel of the Lord was. He had to literally say it because they were so far from God, his chosen people. And I feel like there was so much potential in Samson's life, yet he fell far from that, I think. But no matter, regardless, there's so much for us to learn from this because, you guys, we can have an anointing, and we do. You are anointed. You are called. You have a plan and a purpose in your life. And you have the ability to agree in that and walk it out by the Word and His leading and by the Spirit's leading, by the voice of God, or you can be disobedient and compromise. And you can be kept from your purpose of God. You also have a purpose and a plan of God in your prayer life where you have this awesome communication and you have this ability to intercede because you're intercessors, right? And you can miss intercession because you may be in disobedience or compromise or pride, and the Spirit of the Lord has not been so close to you in their separation and in that departion. Is that the word? I don't know. You may be missing prayers that he wants you to pray. You may be missing intercession he wants you to pray. You may be missing conversation he wants to have to you. And you know in that conversation is wisdom and revelation. You could be missing revelation in your life for others and for yourself because you're not praying. You're missing the potential. And so I end with the question that I started with. Have you ever wondered what answers you've never received because you never prayed the prayer for yourself or for someone else? And I'll leave you with this scripture, 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that which we have the requests which we have asked from him. If we ask, what is it that we've neglected to ask according to his will for him to answer the request? I think there's a lot of things I may have forgotten to pray. There have been a lot of things I probably haven't brought to the Lord the way I should. And I don't want to miss an answer. I don't want to miss a victory. I don't want anyone to miss anything in their life, a blessing, eternal life, anything, because I neglected to pray, because I was disobedient or I compromised or there was pride in my life. And so I say, Lord, help us today to not be a people that fall short of your potential in our life. Help us today not be a people that just go along thinking, well, we're anointed, we can do whatever we want. And Lord, I don't think these are a group of people that do that, but Lord, I think this is a warning and admonition that even those who choose can still miss the mark, can still have a downfall and miss the purpose that you have for our lives. Even the strongest and most faithful of us run the risk, God, of not being completely one with you. And God, I know the only way that we can stay in this right place with you is by daily prayer and intimate time with you, daily intercession, daily time in your word. God, we have to really press in. And in this hour, in this season, it's more important than ever that we be closer to saying, like Jesus, Father, I've accomplished all you sent me to do, than saying, oh boy, I've fallen far short of what the Lord has asked me to do. And so, God, I thank you for this example of Samson, even though it kind of hurts. It kind of breaks my heart. I think there was a ton of potential in Samson. I do. And, Lord, maybe I'm all wrong. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe he fulfilled the destiny you set out for him to do. I don't know. It feels like there was more there. I can't prove it. But that's just my opinion. But if I'm wrong, all of these truths still hold. We can have an anointing, and that will still not save us from our own choice to disobey. We can compromise, and we can let things like pride and self-righteousness come, and we will miss the part that you've departed from us or separated from us. If I'm wrong about Samson, it doesn't change the truth of your word. And so, God, I thank you for this example that really sent me down this path to think, to examine, to meditate by your Spirit on your word today. And Lord, I want to pray. I want to pray, and I want to intercede, and I want to walk in the anointing that you have for me. And I want everyone on this call to pray and intercede and walk in the anointing that you have for them. And I don't want us to be kept from your purpose in our life because of disobedience or compromise. God, we want to pray up to our potential. We want you to answer prayers we're praying because you gave us Holy Spirit's leading and we heard to pray the prayers. God, we want to live up to the potential you have for our life. And I thank you that it's not too late to do that. So God, will you help us pray into this? We love you, Jesus, and we pray this in your name.
Heavenly Father, forgive us for sometimes we may think to ourselves, well, I've done enough.
Right.
Lord, it's not about enough. You're the only one that can enough.
Amen.
May our eyes be so riveted to you, Jesus.
Yeah.
That all of the delights of the world that would try to tempt and entrap us just fall out of focus, become a blur, and they fall to the ground void. But instead, our delight is in you and the things of you alone. Lord, I am so in agreement with Melissa. As soon as she said that at the very beginning, I went, Samson.
Right, amen.
We don't want to be there. We don't want to be that. Lord, help us each one. You have a plan and a purpose for us all. Help us each one to fulfill all that you have for us.
Amen.
I don't believe that you made a plan and a purpose saying, well, they'll probably do this, but they'll never get to that.
Right. That's right.
May we be obedient, immediately obedient, to say, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for your presence. God, I thank you for Josh. And Lord, we just intercede for Josh right now.
Yeah.
That whatever deception he's under, that you would deliver him.
Yeah.
God, you would set him free, and that he would proclaim your goodness.
Yeah.
And Lord, we know it's sometimes it's identity confusion that people like Josh and Jennifer don't understand who they are in you.
That's right.
And sometimes that can affect us all, that we make choices that don't line up for you, with your character. God, I make choices sometimes that don't line up with your character. So God, I just repent. And I thank you that you've given me at least one intercessor in my life, and that's my wife, that I can come to and I can say, honey, I just need you to pray for me because I feel the lust of the eyes or the lust of the flesh or the pride of life creeping in.
Yeah, yeah.
And may it never be so. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would surround each and every one on this call and in our families, intercessors, that as you prompt us to pray for someone on this call or our family, that we would be obedient. And so, Lord, I just thank you. And I never want it to be said that the words of David or Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yes.
May your spirit not be removed from me, God, because of my choices.
Okay.
May your spirit not be removed from me because of my pride.
Amen.
I thank you for this time. I thank you for this beautiful word. So if there's anything that is showing disobedience or compromise in my life, God, I just pray you would show it to me. And then give me strength just to remove it. So I turn it all over to you today, Jesus, because I'm weak. And in my weakness, you were made strong. And I thank you for Becoming Love Ministries. I thank you for these group of people that have gone outside of their comfort zone, outside of what the world has said is all comfort in me, and go after what you've told them to do. And so, God, may I be that person today of obedience, trusting you, and not of the things, no longer the things of the flesh, but doing your will today. And so, Lord, I just thank you that for those that are tempted by alcohol today, that you would break through those temptations. And if they've succumbed to choosing alcohol to medicate themselves, I pray you would break through and that they would begin to walk according to your purpose, walk according to their destiny, walk according to their calling, God, that they would keep on living for your purposes today. God, for every pastor on this call, I just pray an increased anointing, increase of grace over their lives, God, because sometimes it's a hard job, but we get to see your fruit, and you've called us not to have an easy time. And sometimes that's a lie, to say that this because I follow you, Jesus, this I'm going to have an easy road.
That's right.
And in that pain, you turn it around, and you say, I'm delivering you for something. I'm pruning you for something greater. So, God, I just thank you for the pruning. Sometimes I see it as painful, and I don't see the big picture. But you constantly remind me that you are going to work it all for the good.
Amen.
So, Jesus, I thank you for your gentleness, and I thank you for your strength. Thank you for your power. Mm-hmm. Thank you that I can walk minute by minute, day by day, moment by moment with you, Holy Spirit. And, Lord, I just, one last thing, I just pray for the prodigals on this that are represented by the people on this call.
Oh,
I pray you would put people in their lives full of the Holy Spirit, full of the gospel, full of your love, full of your power, that would be able to speak a word, and then that destiny and calling and that purpose would come through, Jesus, because
Great.
That's what you want. That's your heart.
Yeah.
We love you, Lord. And pray in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. We agree. Pastor David, would you close us this morning, if you can?
Sure. Yeah. Lord Jesus, thank you for the truth that you have released today. It's been declared all this that encompasses what took place in Samson's life didn't stop at the point that it all unfolded. It lives on. The truth, the principles. Engage our hearts with the truth of that word today in these hours coming in the days to come. Wrap, I pray, around our hearts and our minds the truth of God's word in such a way that we can see it come to pass in our own lives. Mm-hmm. And I pray, God, in this matter of intercession, that with the busyness of this world, I can see how quickly that gets put back on the shelf. And Lord, I one more time, I'm called upon with new vigor and desire, such as been represented through your servant Melissa today. It's wonderful to have a prayer life, but it's a different call when you say, I want you to intercede, to stand in the gap, to stand on the wall, to stand in my presence, find us faithful to live that true. And then I thank you for the prayer moments ago for the prodigals, for all the families represented. I just come in agreement, so well prayed to Jesus, that whether it's Micah or anybody else, there would be people put in their paths today that represent truth, hope, love, forgiveness, breakthrough, deliverance in a way that only you can bring. I pray in Jesus' name that where the enemy is coming against anybody on this call today, through the eye gate or mind gate, whatever it might be, that you will expose the enemy for what he is, a liar. And that instead we will shift and our minds will be on you, the author and perfecter of our faith, the hope of today and tomorrow, the strength that we have right now that comes over our bodies and our minds and our spirits is from you. We celebrate you. We thank you. Thank you again for this word that's been released and for all that you're going to do. It's not saying this as a prayer phrase. For that which you've done, we thank you. But for that which you are doing and going to do, we do give you praise. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. And may your name always be exalted in and through our lives. Keep us mindful that today we are privileged and responsible too, but we're a privilege to be carriers of your presence. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your great name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all. Bless you all. I love you all.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
Love you all.
Bye-bye.